Show me today.
You're an expert in many things, but one of those things is neuroimmunology. Before we get into how the rejuvenation of immune cells could halt some effects on the aging of the brain, can you describe what neuroimmunology is?
Yes. So neuroimmunology is a field that studies interactions between the nervous system, mostly the brain and the spinal cord, and the immune system. And historically, this was only looked during pathologies. A major one, for example, is multiple sclerosis, where the immune system attacks the brain. But with the years, primarily in the last 10 years, a lot of progress has been made in the field. And we realize now that the two systems, which if you think about them, these are our two most important maintenance systems, right? So the brain is there to make sure we survive, and the immune system is there to make sure we survive. I mean, evolutionarily speaking. And these two systems apparently interact with each other way closer than we previously thought. And not only they interact with each other, but the function of one is dependent on the function of the other. So healthy immune system gives you a healthy functioning brain, and the perfect function of the immune system also, to some extent, probably needs brain involvement.
Okay, great description. And to get into the article that was released from you and your team's study that was involving basically that you guys were testing this theory out that you had on aging mice that had something similar to Alzheimer's, for what I understand, you found out a way that you could rejuvenate immune cells that helps basically clear out any sort of waste that's built up from protein clusters. Before we get into that initially, how exactly do these toxic protein clusters build up in the brain to begin with?
Yeah, so this is a very good question. And so I will need to give you a little bit lengthy, I'll try to make it not too lengthy, introduction about what's happening with the brain. So if you think of our brain and then the box, which is our head, right, the skull, between the brain and the box, there is a fluid. So the brain actually is swimming in the fluid. And the fluid is called cerebrospinal fluid, because it covers it, both the brain and the spinal cord are swimming in that fluid. Now, what has been shown several years ago so one group started this whole field, is a group of Mike and Indegard from University of Rochester, but not since then many other labs have shown, is that this fluid not only swims around the brain, but can also go through the brain. And that's how the brain wash, if you wish, or brain cleansing is happening. So it produces a fresh fluid, about half liter a day. And this fluid slowly goes through our brains and washes whatever metabolites and whatever waste that the brain is producing. And interesting fact probably for your listeners will be that this brain cleansing is happening more extensively during the nighttime than during daytime. So when we sleep, our brain is cleansing itself very efficiently. So that's in healthy young brain. And we know from our work and from many other work that during aging in aged mice, and also probably in aged people, there is some evidence now, this washing of the brain, the cleansing of the brain is substantially impaired. Now, there are several suggested mechanisms of what may affect the brain cleansing and why would in old mice or in old people, this fluid would not go very efficiently through the brain, but we did not understand all the players. And also, you know, if the player is something that you cannot therapeutically target, then it's interesting in terms of basic science, but may not be helping you for the disease. So we were looking to understand what other players could be in this system. Now, one very important factor for this cleansing to happen is the pulsation of the blood vessels. Basically, the blood vessels in the brain, as they are pulsating, they are allowing the CSF, the cerebrospinal fluid, to be pushed into the brain. And along these vessels, there are particular cell types that are sitting. Those are part of the immune system. It's an immune cell that sits along the vasculature in the brain and everywhere else in the body. And we did not really fully understand what is the role of these cells along the vasculature. Now, what we found out is that when we remove those cells from the mice, you know, in mice we can do manipulations and we can change functions of cells or remove cells. So when we remove those cells from mice, what happens is suddenly pulsation of the vessels in the brain is changing. And we said, wow, we're removing an immune cell and we're changing pulsation of the vessel. So what happens with the flow? And so the flow access into the brain was significantly reduced. And what basically is happening, imagine your water pipes at home, right? So, and imagine that there is a constant accumulation of gunk on those pipes. So you have this, you know, you have these tiny plumbers, which are immune cells, which are constantly cleaning those pipes from inside and outside. And so when you remove those plumbers, then you have accumulation of the gunk, and so less water can go through those pipes. It's maybe a little bit crude, but I think it's a decent analogy to explain what's happening in the brain. And so in aging, these cells just become less functioning. So you still have them, but they just, you know, these are very tired and very, very old plumbers. And so they just cannot do their work as well as they should. So what we showed is that we can use a molecule which gives them, you know, this a boost of rejuvenation. You treat the mice with this molecule, and these tiny plumbers, immune cells, become more active for a very short period of time. But that is sufficient, you know, they're cleaning this gunk and allowing more fluid to flow through the brain and allowing more efficient clearance of the brain. So it's a very exciting thing for several reasons. First of all, we're showing that an immune cell, a tiny plumber that does a very important job, we're showing that these cells are now becoming more tired or less functional during aging and in Alzheimer's disease. And we're also showing that we can boost their function in aging and in Alzheimer's disease and improve their function. The problem is that so far we only showed the boosting for a very short period of time. So we still have a lot of work to do to make sure that this boosting or this rejuvenation is long-lasting, so the effect is not just an effect for a couple of hours, but the effect is a long-lasting. But of course, this is very exciting because also these plumbers are very accessible by drugs. When we can inject drugs into that fluid of the brain, and these tiny immune plumbers will immediately be able to access the drug and change their function. So this is why we think that this potentially could lead to a completely new type of therapeutics in the future that hopefully will help in different aging diseases. And we looked at Alzheimer's primarily because we actually can, through our collaboration here with WashU, we can actually take those, again, tiny plumbers, the perivascular macrophages, from healthy people and from people with Alzheimer's. And we see how these cells from people with Alzheimer's are showing a lot of signs of dysfunction, which again suggests that they could be a very plausible target for therapeutic intervention in the future. And again, so far it's all in mice with some tiny evidence from human. But you know, we all have to start somewhere, and I really very, very hopeful that this research will lead to something very interesting and some breakthroughs in development of new therapeutics.
We are speaking with Dr. Jonathan Kipnis from Washington University in St. Louis. He's a professor in pathology. Him and his team have just completed a study with older mice that suggests a new therapeutic approach to Alzheimer's and other age-related diseases. To your point, this is a phenomenal step in the right direction. You mentioned it a little bit, but I'd love for you to go into more detail about the compound itself that's helping these, to your analogy, these tiny plumbers get moving again to clear the pipes to make sure that you have and ensure healthy brain movement and activity. How exactly do you administer this compound? Is it through a surgical procedure? Is it an injection? How exactly do you do that?
Yeah, good question. So the compound, basically, you know, it's an interesting story, right? People ask me, why this compound? Why not something else? There is a paper from 2006 where in a lab in Canada showed that this compound actually helps mice with some Alzheimer's signs. And they proposed how this compound works, and, you know, people were not able to... The evidence for the mechanism of action was not very strong, and the kind of this whole idea, you know, because for scientists, we don't just like some magical compounds. We like to understand how things work, because once you understand the mechanism in depth, then you can try and change that compound to perform the action exactly what you need. For example, now we know that it works, but for a very short time. So can we now extend its function, right? Can we make it more stable and et cetera? So we knew that this compound is kind of doing something in Alzheimer's. I know the group and I trust their results. And we also know that this is a growth factor for this immune cell type called the macrophages. So we decided to inject it, and it worked really. It worked very, very well. So yes, the delivery that we did was delivery into the cerebrospinal fluid. So it's quite invasive delivery. In mice, it's a tiny surgery. In humans, you know, just injection. Like, for example, there are people who would go to a test and actually give a sample of their cerebrospinal fluid for analysis. So it's the same way. You put a big needle and you inject the drug. So it's not unimaginable that the drug would be delivered through CSF route. But of course, another question we're asking is, can we now use the same drug instead of delivering it directly into the brain's fluid? Can we potentially inject it into the blood or maybe even take it as a pill and then allow these molecules to go to the brain? You know, the beauty of putting medication into the cerebrospinal fluid is that, A, you maximize their efficacy because their target is right there, and you minimize their side effect because majority of it will be used within the head, and then the more is used, the less will come out and have impact in the periphery. So there are, of course, pros and cons for both types of administration, but again, so far, we only show that the effect is through the cerebrospinal fluid.
Okay, and to your point, you guys are very early on in the research for this, but you hope that it's a key to unlocking the door that could solve some of these issues. And just for confirmation, this isn't just for something like Alzheimer's. This is for other neurodegenerative diseases as well, correct? That this could impact them, such as Parkinson's. Could it also maybe have some answers for those?
For diseases that are linked to aging, and diseases that are linked to protein aggregation, for example, like you said, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and you know, other examples of different tauopathies, et cetera. I think for these diseases, hopefully, these cells will be playing a role. So we now actually collaborate with a very famous AD researcher here at WashU, David Holtzman, and together with his lab, we're seeing that these same cells, for example, are also working in other diseases of in other models of Alzheimer's or other diseases of brain dysfunction. So that, again, that are all linked to aging. So I think that because aging impairs the function of the cells, and having Alzheimer's on top probably exacerbates that impairment. So again, I think aging in this case is a key factor.
Unbelievable. And if this is related to aging, let's say big picture for what you and your team are trying to accomplish. To summarize this, you're basically hoping that this practice, if successful enough, could it be used basically as a preventative measure for patients who may develop neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's? You could treat them for this forehand so that it would hopefully jumpstart that neurofluid again, correct? Is that kind of what you're going for?
Yes, you absolutely got it right. You know, sometimes what I say is not, people don't like it very much, but I'm saying, you know, I don't know. I really hope we can cure, of course, ongoing Alzheimer's or late stage Alzheimer's. But I don't know. What I do hope and very much believe and put all our efforts in is to extend our healthy aging. Because, you know, if we can live happily with a clear mind until age of 120, 130, I mean, you know, that's pretty good, right? So I do believe
yes,
in this extension of a healthy, not just extension of lifespan, extension of a healthy lifespan, healthy aging. I think that's the key that we should be working on. I think it's much easier to prevent things from happening than fix after they already happened. And, you know, an immune system, remember, immune system is a maintenance crew of the body, right? This is the maintenance crew. And so, you know, you could have the best driver and the best car on Formula One, but if the maintenance crew is not functioning, that car will never win. I don't know if that's relevant, but we're, of course, now trying to find partners in industry, which, you know, there are some very potential, very interesting connections that we're making to really take this whole idea to the next step. And I really hope that, you know, maybe one day soon there will be some potential maybe clinical trials. I don't know. I mean, again, we are very early now, but the results in mice are very exciting. And of course, you know, this is a mouse. We'll understand that. I'm a dreamer, of course, but I'm not completely out of touch with reality. So, but I do have a very strong feeling that something, it may not be this particular molecule, but I think this target, this cell, I think will be very interesting future target for like you said, many disorders of neurodegeneration which are associated with aging.
Dr. Jonathan Kipnis from Washington University in St. Louis. Well, Dr. Kipnis, once again, this is a phenomenal step in the right direction, and I'm a believer with you. This is something that it could be unbelievable, especially if met with the right capabilities and the right team members and collaboration. So I wish you the best of luck the rest of the way, and thank you so much for joining us on Show Me Today, the Voice of Missouri.
Yeah, thank you so much. Show Me Today.